We're going to start here at the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. The Tosfot points out right away, why is Masechet Sanhedrin placed here after the Bavas? It's because the Bavas dealt with the issues of the Dinim themselves. Now, once we've gone through the Dinim themselves, we want to know when it comes to enforcement, or when it comes to the Batei Dinim themselves, how are they constructed, the Batei Dinim, to enforce those laws or to be metapel in those Dinim? So that the Mishnah comes along to tell us, dinim emononot bishlosha. When it comes to dinim emononot, it goes after shlosha. The Gemara will deal with what this category means. Gzelot v'chavalot. When it comes to gzela is someone who is kofer bepikadon, or that he's shalech v'yad, that he's a gazlan, and someone who grabs things away from his friend, or somehow is a theft, that's gzelot. And then we're talking about chavalot. Chavalot are when you cause damage to your friend, some way that you cause injury to your fellow man, and that you have to compensate him for that with the chamisha dvarim. So those two items, gzelot v'chavalot b'shlosha, require three dayanim. Nezek, v'chatzi nezek, we're talking about damage, and over here we have to discuss what that damage means. Does it mean they, sure, or your mamon that damages somebody else? Which, or is it some form of chovel? How is that different than the chavalah that we talked about before? That the Gemara will discuss. V'chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek has to do with a short tam that does injury. So those, tashlumi kefel, when it comes to theft, where the theft is discovered with the thief, he has to pay kefel, but tashlumi arba v'chamisha, and four and five times, which comes from a short oseh that was stolen, and then was tvacho mecharo, that he shechted it or he sold it. In those cases, he has to pay four or five times. All of those v'shlosha only require three dayanim. Ha'ones v'hamefate v'hamutzi shemra b'shlosha divrei Rabbi Meir. When it comes to the payment of the fines for someone who rapes or someone who seduces a woman, and motzi shemra, someone who marries a woman and then says that he was tricked or misguided, that this woman was a betula and she's really not. So motzi shemra, over there are two possible outcomes of the case. One case is found to be correct, and therefore the woman actually then is tried because she had some quote-unquote extramarital affair, or he's found to be wrong, and then he has to compensate the father for the motzi shemra that he put out. So Rameir says that we start those cases, at least we start that case with shlosha. You start that with shlosha dayanim. On the other hand, the chamim disagree, because the chamim amim, motzi shemra, besim v'shlosha, b'nei shbo, dinei nefashot. Because one of the two possible outcomes of the case in motzi shemra could be a case of capital punishment. Therefore, we start with 23 in order to ensure that the Beis Din that's put in place at that point in time can deal with the case no matter what the outcome is. Makot, when it comes to the corporal punishment, makot, b'shlosha. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel amru b'asri mishlosha. So that's the Tanakhama says that you take three, you only need three danyamim when it comes to makot arbaim, whereas Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanon say that you need 23. Ibur HaChodesh, when it comes to extending the month, meaning deciding on whether the month is a 30-day month or a 29-day month, that, b'shlosha, you only require three. Ibur HaShana, when it comes to adding an additional month to the year, another bet to the year, that is, b'shlosha, divrei Rabbi Meir, only requires three danyanim, or three people to conduct the investigation to decide about that. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Meir, Rabbi Gamliel says, b'shlosha matchilin, you start with three, u'b'chamisha nosim v'notnim, and then you have five in which you make the discussions, v'gomrim b'shiva, and then you end it with seven. If they ended with three, then it still works and it's a good Ibur HaShana. Again, all of these will be discussed in the Gemara, what the sources are for the different opinions and why they differ. Now, smichat zkenim varifat egla b'shlosha. When it comes to the zkenim, when they are sumeich on the parhelem davar shel tzibur, when the tzibur was choteh as a general tzibur, and they have to bring a parhelem davar shel tzibur, the zkenim put their hands on that, have to do a vidoy on the par. That's smichat zvim and yirfat egla for the body that's found between two cities. That are done b'shlosha. Divi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes you only need three dayanim in that case, three zkenim. Yudomer b'chamisha. You need five. Achalitza. When it comes to doing chalitza, which is min haTorah, you require three dayanim. Miyun, which actually is only a din dirabanan, which is a ketana who has been married off by her mother or brother, her father's passed away, or she's already been married and her father has no rights to her now. So if she gets married at this point in time, her marriage is simply a marriage dirabanan and not a marriage deoraita. So in order to dissolve that marriage, she does not need a formal get, but rather miyun. So that miyun is done bishlosha, even though it's only a din dirabanan, because we say, called the tikkun rabanan, kein deoraita tikkun. So since just like by deoraita, to dissolve the marriage by chalitza, you need three. So to over here, by miyun, we require three. Neter Revai, Umaiser Shenish, and Damav Yuduim. We're talking about things that have to be redeemed for Hekdesh, which is Neter Revai, fruits in their fourth year, and Maiser Sheni, when it's not obvious what the value is, meaning there's no market for this product. If there's no market for the product, and we don't know what the exact value is, and you want to assess it to be podet, then b'shlosha, you need three individuals to come and do this proper assessment to tell you what the price of the redemption is. Because here we want to make sure that it's done properly so hekdesh does not get cheated out. Again, if there's a market price to the item, then there's no question, then you go to the market price, and you can redeem it at the market price. Hekdeshot b'shlosha. When it comes to hekdesh, again, when it comes to hekdesh, redeeming hekdesh in order to give the value to hekdesh, in that instance, you need three to assess it. Hayrachin v'amitaltalin b'shlosha. When it comes to hayrachin v'amitaltalin, when it comes to values of items that are mitaltel, that are moved around, b'shlosha, you need three. Now, again, this what this means, hayrachin v'amitaltalin, how's that different than hekdeshot? And what we've discussed until now, the Gemara will split up. Yehuda omer, echad mehen kohen. One of them has to be a kohen. V'akarkaot tisha v'kohen. And when it comes to karka, when you're redeeming for hekdesh, you need ten people, nine plus a kohen to make the tenth. V'adam kiyotze v'hem. And when it comes to redemption of an individual, the same thing is true. Again, what does that mean, or what we're talking about with the redemption of an individual? We'll talk again, but what that means in the Gemara, but again, here he's suggesting that it's nine people plus one kohen. Dinei fashot b'srim v'shloshah. When it comes to any capital punishment, it's 23. Arova, Vanirba, Bisrim Shlosha, any case of bestiality where it's whether it's done by the male or the female requires 23. Shinemar. Barakta et Aisha, the et habehema. So when the woman is put to death, but so is the animal. Vomer, and why the other case of the Mrovea, et habehema tarogu, that he'll be killed. So in those two cases, we see the behema is mukash, to the person who violated the Dina Torah. And just like the person themselves will have to be tried in a court of 23, so too, the animal will have to be tried in a court of 23. Shor haniskal b'srim shlosha, a shor that has killed and therefore must be put to death, that shor haniskal requires 23. Shinemar ashor yisakel v'gam balav yumat. Again, there's a hekesh between the shor, or the punishment of the shor, as well as the balim. So even though in this case the balim are not yumat here, doesn't mean literally they'll be put to death, but rather they have to pay for kofar. Nevertheless, ashor yisakel v'gam balav yumat indicates to us that the shor's din here is the same as the balim would be if they were going to be put to death, and that means that they require eshlim shlosha. K'yimitat balim, kach mitat ashor. Hazeev, v'hari, v'ado, v'anamer, v'abardeles, v'anachash, mitatan, b'esvim shlosha. All these animals which are dangerous, whether it's a wolf, a lion, a bear, right, a leopard, and the barlos is unclear what that is, and if something from the feline family, maybe a panther, or something from the rodent family, v'anachash, and a snake, mitatan b'esrim shloshah. Of those get put to death with 23. The assumptions that they've done, they've killed somebody, done some damage, and they need to be put to death. Well, it's a miracle. Kudim horgam zacha. Forget about taking them to Bezdin, waiting for them to do damage. These are already dangerous animals, and anybody who keeps them around, they should be killed right away in order to prevent it, as a preventative measure. Right? Kiva says that they are put to death with 23. You have to see how that differs from the position of the Tanakhama when we get to the Gemara. Ein dan in loata shevet veloata navi sheker veloata kohen gadol elapi beitin shel 71. When it comes to leadership, and or something that is of extreme importance to the nation as a whole. For instance, if one shevet as a whole has done something wrong, whether it's avodah zarah, whether they've sinned, and therefore they have to bring a karban, or we're talking about the navi sheker or a kohen gadol, people of leadership within the nation, then they have to be brought to a Beis Din Shel 71. They have to go to a Beis Din of 71. They have to go to Sanhedrin Gdola. This has to be brought to the highest authorities to be dealt with. You can only go out to Mechamet Rishut with 71, with a Beis Din of 71. What exactly is a Mechamet Rishut? Rashi over here, and we'll see, we have to look in the Gemara later on what the actual definition is in the Machlok Darishonim there. But Rashi over here says, Kol Melchama Kari Rishut, every war that was done after Yeshua entered the land to conquer Eretz Yisrael, that's called the Mechemet HaRishut. That's all called Mechemet HaRishut. Alright, Eimos Yifim Aleir, we don't add on to the city here being Yerushalayim, V'ala Zarot, or we don't add on or expand the Mikdash, Elapi Beit Din Shel 71. Again, only with the permission, or with the under the auspices of the Beis Din of 71. Again, these are of matters that are for the whole nation as a whole, and therefore they highest court has to deal with these issues. The Shvatim, each one or each city where they establish a Beis Din of 23, that is done under the auspices of the Sanhedrin Agdola of 71. We don't make a year anidachat except Again, this is a serious, grave issue here, a city that's going to be wiped out for worshiping the role of the city worship the Avodah Zarah. So in that case, we have to take the case up to the Beis Din Shel Shivim Echad. Enosim Niradachat Basapar. We don't make an Niradachat on the border, because we're afraid that by destroying a city on the border, we actually weaken, or not only do we destroy the city, but we also weaken the defenses for the rest of the country, or affect everybody else in the country. And therefore, we're not willing to risk the lives of everyone in order to punish this Yerani Dachat. Velo Shalosh. That you can't make three of them. Avalosim achat oshtayim, but you can make one or two arei nidachat. Sanhedrin Gedola, the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court, was made up of 71 individuals. V'ktana, a smaller Beis Din, meaning that those that are under, or the auspices of that Sanhedrin, are made up of 23. How do you know that the Beis Din HaGadol is comprised of 71 individuals? Shenemar, says by Moshe, so then Moshe says that he needs help with taking care of the nation. Hashem says, great, get together these 70 people and they will help you out. And Moshe is the supreme leader of all these Dayanim. So you have the Shivim Zakenim plus Moshe, that gets you to 71. Shivim. He says 70 and not 71. That Moshe Rabbeinu is not part of the count here, but rather it's just the Shivim Zekenim. And since it's only Shivim Zekenim, then Beis Din HaGadol should be of Shivim. Again, we'll have to discuss his position based on the Psukim and what he says about the issue of a Beis Din Shakul. How do you know that a Beis Din made up of 23 is a smaller Beis Din is made up of 23? When it comes to being done based on a court, when it comes to these issues, we say shavtu eida v'tzilu eida. So the assumption here, shavtu is to the negative form, meaning that there will be those that are negative or are mechayiv the individual. V'tzilu eida, those that are positive or would be willing to free the individual. V'tzilu eida. Now eida shofetet v'eida matzelet. There's an eida worth of people who are negative or saying that he's chayav, and we have an eida matzelot, an eida that's a worth of people that are saying that he's okay, he's free to go, or that the situation does not need to be punished. Harikan esrim. We know we have 20. If you have two eidot, then you have 20. How do we know that? Minayin leida shiasara. How do you know that an eida is comprised of 10 individuals? Shenemar ad matay leida hara hazot. How long are we going to have to deal with this eida hara hazot? The eida hara hazot is referencing the miraglim. Yatsu, Yeshua, and Kalev. When talking about Yeshua and Kalev, we eliminate Yeshua and Kalev because Yeshua and Kalev are two of the 12 miraglim who were good. So Hashem's referencing to the other 10 miraglim. And therefore, you see, eida is 10. So now, uminayin lavid ot shlosha. So how do we get to 23? So far we have 20. How do you get to 23? I would hear from the pasuk that says you're not allowed to go after the majority when it comes to bad. I would know from that by good you can go by the majority. So then why does the pasuk have to tell me explicitly that you do go with the majority when it comes to good, it sounds like over here. I mean, that it would be implicit from the fact that by bad you don't go by the majority, that by good you do go by the majority. If that is the case, then why do I need the pasuk to come explicitly and tell me to go after the majority? Ella, what does it come to teach me? It says, lo ka'atiyat chalut tova, itayat chalut ra'a. That means that the majority that we talk about by good is different than the majority than by bad. Itchalut tova pi'ed echad, bi'echad. When it comes to good, the majority is a majority of one. I mean, in order to poter him, or in order to say that he is zakai, it would be sufficient to have a Beis Din of 21, because then you could have a majority of 11 versus 10. That would be sufficient. But when it comes to going on the negative side, it has to be up each time. You have to have at least a majority of 2. So the minimum amount you could have is 12. Versus 10, the problem with that is 12 versus 10 gives you an even number of judges. So 12 versus 10 is 22, so we can't have a Beis Din of even judges because then you could have a possible tie. Maybe there's in Shakul, then there's no even Beis Din. Mosifin aleihem od echad. So therefore we add another individual to make it up to Arikan Esrim Vishlusha. And then at that point you reach the point where you have 23 individuals. Now it's interesting, even with the 23 individuals, you can't have a majority by 2 because if it's 12 versus 10, that's 22. So what's the majority? The majority has to be 13 versus 10 or 11 versus 12. So the only way to get a majority of 2 is really to have a majority of 3. And the Gemara will ask that question, how come we need 23? It has to be 13 versus 10. And that's a majority of 3 and not a majority of 2. So now the Gemara asks, okay, what happens to a case, how many people, how big does a city have to be in order to be qualified to have a Beis Din of 23 sit there? So, the Me'av Esrim. That's the Tanakhama says that you need 120 people in the city. The Gemara will go through why you need 120 people, what their services or positions are within the city in order to have us have a Beis Din of 23. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Matayim Mishloshim, you have to have 230 people. Connected Sarei Aserot. The minimum amount of judges that are mentioned in Parshat Yitro is Sarei Aserot. Individuals that were judges or had some sort of dominion or ruling job over 10 people. So the minimum amount of people that you can rule over is 10. So if you have a Beis Din of 23, and each one has 10 people, which they're supposedly achrayi for, so that would case makes it 230 people. So the minimum amount of city would be 230 in order to have a Beis Din of 23. Now the Gemara asks a very basic question. The mission began with the statement of Dinei Memonot B'Shlosha. That's a general category. And then it says, Gzeilot V'Chavalot B'Shlosha. The Gzeilot and Chavalot are also three. But what do you need that for? If Dinei Memonot are three, then Gzeilot V'Chavalot are also Dinei Memonot. They're subsumed in that category. So why would you separate them out? So we're actually going to have three answers to this question. The first of which will be on today's daf. The other two will be on tomorrow's daf. And then Rabbi Abbo says, Amri Abbo, Mahein Ketani. This is a header. It's a colon, not that they're two separate items. Mahein dinei memonot. What is the case of dinei memonot? That is gzelot v'chavalot. That's gzelot v'chavalot. So if you read the Mishnah, you would read it as this. Dinei memonot shbishlosha, colon, gzelot v'chavalot v'shlosha. What is the definition, or what is the subcategory that is we're talking about when we're talking about dinei memonot? We're talking about gzelot v'chavalot. So what does that mean? That means that we're trying to exclude something. What is it that we're excluding? That's what the Gemara says over here. Aval hoda'ot v'halva'ot lo. When it comes to hoda and halva'ah, then we don't have that. What is the case of hoda v'halva'ah? So Rashi discusses over here, that is, both of them have to do with lending of money. That the hoda'ot is that if he comes with a deem that the debtor admitted to the fact that he owed the money, and halvaot is that he comes to a din with a din that say that he borrowed the money. So that's the two cases here are cases of borrowed money that has not been returned. So hodot halvaot, in cases of lending, there they would not be included in this category. The Gemara will ask later, what's the difference? Meaning that, is there a different din by hodot and halvaot than gzeilot and chavalot? Betzricha, and we need that. Deitana dinei memononot, had it the Mishnah just simply said dinei memononot, Avamino, I would have thought that filo hodot halvaot, that subsumed in that category is also items that deal with the loans. So in order to take away from that possibility or remove that possibility, the Gemara says, Tani gzeilot v'chavalot. It comes to tell us what specific types of dinim memonot are we talking about. We're talking about gzeilot v'chavalot. V'tana gzeilot v'chavalot. If the Tana had only mentioned gzeilot v'chavalot and not mentioned dinim memonot, l'tani dinim memonot, avamino, huadin, dafilu hodot v'chavalot. The same is true by hodot v'chavalot. V'hai, diktani gzeilot v'chavalot. So why did they mention gzeilot v'chavalot? Why did they only bring that example, not the other examples? Mashum de'ikar gimel k'tive b'gzeilot v'chavalot k'tive. Because we see in tomorrow's daf, how do we learn out that there are requirement of three dayanim? We learn it out in the dinim of the shomrim, from the word Elohim that is found in dinei gzeilot v'chavalot. Because there it says, gzeilot ikhtiv v'nikrav balabait Elohim, chavalot. So when it comes to gzeilot, we learn it out from the pasuk, v'nikrav balabait Elohim by the shomrim. The Elohim there is referring to the dayanim. In the parsha, the word Elohim is found three times. We'll see in tomorrow's drasha that tells you you need three dayanim, mumchim, and then chavalot. When it comes to chavalot, mali chavel begufo, mali chavel b'mono. When it comes to chavalot, what does it make a difference how the damage happens? I mean, damage, a person can damage an individual himself, meaning that he can be pogea by the Adam and has to pay nizikin for that, or a person can be pogea in his mamon. He can damage that which he owns. Now, what's the difference between them? Meaning that whether the loss of money that is being caused here, whether he causes a loss of money by attacking or destroying or stealing the other person's possessions, or he causes a loss of money or value by damaging the person himself, both of them are a restoration of value. That restoration of value should make no difference on how the diminishment in value is caused, whether it's caused by hurting the person's possessions or whether it's caused by the hurting or stealing of or damaging of the individual themselves. So now, Tana, Mahin dinei memonot, gzilot, chavalot, aval, hodot v'avot, lo. So that's what the Tana came out to teach us. That is dinei memononot. Dinei memononot comes to teach us that only gzeilot and chavalot are the case, but not hoda'ot v'halvot. And we wrote both of them each to teach us that. If it had just written memonot, we would have included hoda'ot v'halvot. And if it had just written gzeilot and chavalot, we just thought it was written there because that's the ikar limud of three dayanim. But it would also apply to hoda'ot v'halvot. So comes along the Mishnah say, no, dinei memononot, but only the cases of gzeilot and chavalot. So Al-Gemara goes, no, ulamai. What's the difference? mean, you don't need three by hodot valvot. Is that really true? So the my ilamit lo bin shlosha. If you don't need three, v'amar Rabbi Yobo, Rabbi Yobo's of the position shnayim shadano dinei mamonot. Ativir akohen dinei din. If two people come to adjudicate a case of dinei mamonot, whenever they say it does not hold, they don't have a status of a court. Now this is the position of Rabbi Bo. We'll see tomorrow's daf, and we'll see it again later on in Sanhedrin. A number of times that Shmuel says that's not true. That when two dayanim are done, it is a good din. But here, Rabbi Bo, the shita to, should say if it's three works by gzilot, and it's necessary to have three by gzilot chavalot. He also says it's necessary to have three by hodot valvot. So that can't be the difference between them. So what's the other possibility of the difference? Ela dlo bin mumchin. What are you going to suggest here that by hodot valvot you don't require mumchin? What are mumchin, right? Rashi says mumchin are smuchim, they have smicha, and they have reshut from the nasi to be done, to be judges, to be appointed as judges, or to give hora'ah. So if that's a requirement of mumchim, may only be necessary by gzilot chavalot, but not by hoda'ot ve'halvaot. So three and three, you need in both cases, but the requirement of mumchin, which comes from the word Elohim in the Pasuk, that is only true by gzilot chavalot, but not true by hoda'ot ve'halvaot. So my kasavar, what is he holding over here? I kasavar eruv parshiyut k'tuv kan. So this goes back to a gemara that we learned in Baba Kama, and that is that in the middle of the Pasuk, or the middle of the Pesukim, Shomer Chinam, which we had in this week's Parsha, Parshat Mishpatim, there is a Pasuk that says, and that kihuzeh, the Gemara learns that means modem miksat, someone who makes a partial admission in order to obligate themselves. Now, when we say kihuzeh, that requirement of kihuzeh, that it be modem miksat in order to be chayav, right? The majority opinion, most people believe that's erev pashiyut kan, that has nothing to do with the shomrim. Shomrim can be chayav, any shomer can be chayav, even if he's not modeh b'miksat. On the other hand, when it comes to a halva'ah, when it comes to a loan, the only way he can be chayav is if he's modeh b'miksat. On the other hand, if he's kofer b'kol, if he denies the whole thing, in that case he'll be patur from a shvu'ah, and he'll be patur. There was later instituted a shvat hasef that he would have to take, but min ha'torah would be patur from a shvu'ah. So now, depending on how you read that pasuk in the parsha, if you believe that pasuk is referencing the next parsha of Kim Kesef Talveh Dami, that's referencing to loans, the modeh b'miksat there. Now, you in the middle of the Parshat HaShomrim, you have this stuck in, something that's not relevant to the Parshat HaShomrim, but it's really relevant to loans. But the fact that it's found there tells you, and it has the word Elohim mentioned in it, that tells you it's a part, it has the same requirements as Gzelot and Chavalot. That means that Elohim applies not only to Gzelot and Chavalot, but also to loans. And therefore, by Hodot Valvot, you would also require Mumchim. So that's right. If you say here, if you think the parshiot are mixed over here, meaning that it's talking about shomrim and it's talking about hovah in the same parsha, the bainami mumchim, you should require mumchim. Because you have erev parshiot, Rashi explains, this is Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri disagree in the Gemara and Baba Kama, but here Rashi explains the difference is that when you're kofel brakol, when it comes to a loan, when a person did you a favor and lent you money, you'd be embarrassed, you wouldn't be meiz panim to come and deny in front of him that he lent you any money. So what do? You try to squeeze out of it and you do modem miksat to get out of the problem. But on the other hand, when it comes to pikadon, when it comes to a shomer, when he leaves the items with you, gives you stuff to watch over there, you're almost the other way around. You're doing him the favor. You don't owe him anything. So if you don't owe him anything, then you're kofer bakol. And therefore, just because you're kofer bakol does not pat you from a shvuah. That's why you don't need modem miksat to be chayav b'shvuah. So based on that, Rashi says, by a shomer, whether he's kofer bakol or the modem miksat, he would still have to take a shvuah. But because of that, the erev parshiot here, you would have the same application. That means you need three and you need mumchim, would apply both to gzilot chavalot and to halvaot vehodot. V'ikasavar, or if you think that there's ain erev parshiot here, that means that the modem miksat is relevant to the shomer, and a shomer would require a modem miksat in order to be chayav, then what are you going to ketuv kan shlosh alomali? Then why would you even need three by dinei hodot valvot? Where do you learn out the din of three? I mean, that the whole din of three is learned from the word Elohim that's found in the Parsha of the Shomrim. If Hodot and Hodot are not even included in that Parsha, then why would you even need three? Forget about Mumchim, you don't even need three. So when it says, Lom Kasavar Eruv Parshiot Ketuvkan. No, that Rabbi Yobo believes that the Parshiot are mixed, I mean, Halva and Hodot are mixed with the Parsha of the Shomrim. Ah, so then, if that's the case, the truth is that you should require Mumchim also. When it comes to Hodot Valvot, should have Mina Torah, should have the same din as Gzilat Chavalot, which is required three, and three Mumchim. So why don't we? I don't believe in mumchim. So how come, based on our mission and the way Rabbi Bo is reading it, hodot valvot do not require mumchim? He says that's mishum de Rabbi Chanina. That's the principle of Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Chanina, devar Torah. When it comes to Torah, echad dinei mamonot, echad dinei fashot, bedrisha vechakira. When it comes to the investigation of the edim, that which is required, a full and very careful checking of the Edim. That is a requirement by Dinei Nefashot. Now, we apply it to Edim Mamonot. The answer is yes. It also applies to Bidei Mamonot. Why? Because it says, Mishpat Echad Yelechem. There should be only one type of judiciary or threshold of evidence, whether it's a Dinei Nefashot or whether it's Dinei Mamonot. The threshold is the same. And if the threshold for evidence is the same, then you should have to investigate the Edim as carefully you do by Dinei Nefashot, to all the specific questions that the Gemara is going to learn further on. You should have to do it by Dinei Mamonot. How come we don't do that? Why don't we do that? We don't do that by the Edim of Dinei Mamonot, even though the Torah tells us that there should be equivalence between corporal or capital punishments and civil law and dealings with money. Nevertheless, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? In order to protect the or keep the market liquid. Again, when we've discussed this in the past, when people lent out money, they were expectations or they wanted to get their principal back. They had no other compensation. They didn't get interest on it. They didn't get any value for the risk they were taking. The only thing that they could hope for was to get their principal back. If they saw that they were not getting their principal back, then they would stop to lend and the market for loans would dry up. So how do we ensure that people get their money back? Is that Beis Din doesn't look too carefully into the Edim. If they're going to be posel the Edim, now meaning that the Edim are telling the truth, but they're going to be posel the Edim because of a drisha chakira, there's some mistake in the evidence that they bring, or they're not exact, the two of them, to coordinate their testimony, therefore Beis Din says it's pasul. Okay, by Dinei Nefashot, when we're trying to be lomed zchut, that's great. But by Dinei Mamonot, if that's going to be the outcome, you're going to have an error rate where you're going to actually have people who are really owed the money not get their money back. And if that happens, you're going to end up with a situation which is less than desirable, which is that people will stop to lend money. So again, if you're going to require a Beis Din of Mumchim in order to adjudicate a case when it comes to Avot and Hodot, you have the same problem. Meaning that if a person lends out money, then he's got to search for Mumchim and get a full-fledged Beis Din in order to adjudicate the case or get his money back, people are going to be reluctant to lend because it's going to be hard to get it back. If you allow him to use Shlosha Hedjot, if you let them use a Beis Din, but it could be any three people, you don't need Mumchim, then people will be more willing to lend because the ease in which to gather a Beis Din and adjudicate the case will make it so that they aren't so at risk or that they don't feel that the burden is too much and then they feel they will be willing to lend. So that's what Rebbe suggests over here. True, Mikar Adin, Gzelot Chavalot, and Hodot Havot should be the same thing. Just Midrabanan, the Rabbanon goes there and lighten the burden by Dinei Mamonot and Kir by the case of Mumchin because they wanted to allow or keep the market for loans open, keeping the markets for loans open in order to have the ability for people to lend and borrow and keep the market liquid and not have people be reluctant to lend because it would be so difficult, the hurdles or the threshold for evidence would be too high that they wouldn't be willing to lend. Okay, we'll stop over here.